And we'll see how far we get. I don't want to belabor the point, but we've been talking about this subject. Maybe I do want to belabor it, okay? Because how can you belabor the point, new life in Christ? Because he's the one that makes all things new. Amen. I said he's the one that makes all things new. Has he made your life new in any way? Do you have a new song? The Bible talks about that. He put a new song in my heart, in my mouth. Many shall see it. Do people see the new song? That's a question, isn't it? David knew that. David said, the Lord has put a new song in my mouth. He wasn't just talking about something that was new lyrically. He was talking about a new song in his heart, a song of salvation, a song of redemption. And I believe this about that. I believe that as you serve the Lord gives you a repertoire of songs. And I'm not just talking about songs that you sing, but the song of your life. Blessed assurance, right? I love that verse that says, this is my story, this is my song. In other words, the song in the sense of this is what I'm all about, praising my Savior all the day long. So new life in Jesus Christ is what it's all about. So this is new life in Christ part two. Here we go. Starting with the most familiar and famous verse, no doubt, in maybe the whole book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And we're going to read a couple more verses than we did last week. We're going to read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 6. So let's just read it because they belong with chapter 5. Here it goes. Therefore, if anyone, let me say that again, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Another translation says, the new has come. So it's not like it's an instantaneous, but it begins to become new. Now, all things are of God, a gift of God, who has reconciled us unto himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The second time he used the word reconciliation. That is, and he explains in verse 19, that God the Father was in Christ reconciling, that's number three, the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he has committed to us what? The word or the message of reconciliation. I don't know if you counted. That's four times he made reference to the word or the concept of reconciliation, because God is about reconciliation. And we talked about that a little bit last week. Let me finish reading so I don't just get started ahead of schedule here. Now, verse 20 is what we want to concentrate on today. Listen to it. But then now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you. That's a strong word. We beseech you. We beg you. And it actually reads, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's number five, I think. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to become sin. A better translation, a sin offering, the sin bearer for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Listen now, in him. We can only be righteous in him. How many say amen? Amen. Now, the next two verses of chapter 6 really belong with chapter 5, so watch this. We then, see how it ties it together? Therefore, in other words, we then, as workers together with him. Now, I believe that's talking about we as believers working together with God. We're laborers together with God. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Maybe we'll talk about that more specifically next week. Not to receive the grace of God in vain. Is it possible to receive the grace of God in vain? Yes, it is. It has to be, because otherwise Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would not be urging the people not to receive the grace of God in vain. If it were not possible to receive the grace of God in vain, that statement doesn't make any sense. So what does that mean? He said, I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, God says, and this is a direct quote from the book of Isaiah, he says, in an accepted time or an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, listen to this now, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How many agree with that? Now is the accepted time. The prophecy way back in Isaiah, I don't know if it's in the 40s, Isaiah, whatever chapter that was. I wrote it down here somewhere. Forget about it for now. But that passage, that prophetic word in Isaiah was pushing forward to the time of Jesus Christ. And now Paul is saying that time that Isaiah wrote about that said there's an accepted time, I've heard you. In other words, this is the time, this is the hour, now is the time. Can you say amen? Can I say this to you? There will never, ever be a better time for you to accept the gospel if you're not saved and you're here today to respond to Jesus than today. If the moment that you hear and understand the gospel is the greatest moment of opportunity of your life to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So today is the time. Now is the time. Today is the time. There were three big ideas and key points that we brought out last week. And I'll just review them quickly for those that weren't here because it is August and I could probably preach the same sermon 3 weeks in a row and at least half the people wouldn't know it, but I won't do that. Just recap a little. First of all, the concept of new creations. Religion, I said last week to you, renovates, but Jesus Christ makes brand new people. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Religion tries to whitewash you, cover up, renovate. Have you ever renovated anything in your home? Listen, when it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We are new just as really and just as much as the original creation. And the Bible says that God created the world. He created the earth. He created the stars. He created the universe out of nothing. There's a Hebrew word or concept for that. It's creation ex nihilo, which means something out of nothing. So when a person gets saved, there exists something in somebody. There exists something about that person that has never existed before. You are a new creation. So 1971, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, old things began to pass away and all things began to become new. But there was something that happened to me that I was a different person. Yeah, I was the same person, but a different person. I said, I was the same person, but a different person. No contradiction. Just have to understand where I'm coming from. At the time that you accept Jesus Christ, there's a new birth. But it's something that has never happened before. That's why salvation is the greatest miracle in the universe. Yes. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you. That's pretty exciting. A new creation. Brand new. I can't re-preach everything I preached last week, but we talked about that. We need to understand that religion seeks to renovate, but Christ makes all things new. The second word we looked at last week was the word, the concept, reconciliation. Used five times in the passage that I just read. It's one of what I call the five R's of salvation. Repentance, regeneration, redemption, restoration, and reconciliation. All of those are about salvation. God says if you repent, he says, then he will regenerate you. He'll make you new. That's what the Bible says. And we've been redeemed. That's the concept where we're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. We belong to God. How many belong to God today? So next time you have a problem and you're walking with the Lord, you're seeking first the kingdom, remember when you're not rebellion, you say, God, I have a problem, therefore you have a problem. Because if I own property and if I own something and there's a problem on that property, then guess what? It's my problem because I'm the owner of that property. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And we are more than the property of God, but we are the property of God. We belong to him. And if we have a problem, it's God's problem. So reconciliation. This is the gospel message of reconciliation. So a new creation is one concept. The second concept of the gospel is reconciliation, which means we're brought back into fellowship. We're connected into friendship, if you will, with God himself again. And we can now walk in the light as he is in the light. Get to know him. Salvation is now getting to know him. Praise God. We've been reconciled. What a message that is. And so if we've been reconciled to God, then we ought to demonstrate that. Just like forgiveness is something that ought to be demonstrated to the world, then reconciliation ought to be demonstrated, because as husbands, as wives, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, how can we preach a gospel of reconciliation if we're not reconciled to one another? Amen. Say amen or oh me, whatever the case may be. But the third word is what I want to talk about today, and that is the word ambassadors. I looked up some synonyms for the word ambassador, but ambassador, I think, is the best one. It's in the Bible, so we're going to go with that word. An envoy, an emissary, a diplomat, a consul, a representative. That's what an ambassador is, but even much more. How many of you know what an ambassador is? Come on, let me see your hand. An ambassador usually what? Let's just use our common knowledge. Usually lives in an embassy. Isn't that right? An embassy somewhere. He's not of that territory, that land where he lives, but he is the representative. And in our understanding, an ambassador of the United States of America represents the government, represents the president, but represents us all. But in Bible understanding of it, the ambassador in Bible days would be a direct and complete representative of the king and the kingdom. So we want to talk about an ambassador today, an ambassadorship. I want to give you four marks of an ambassador real quick. Number one, an ambassador is appointed by the king. An ambassador is appointed by the king. Now, in this day and age, sometimes somebody wins an election and they kind of reward people that donated a lot of money or there's some kind of influence or whatever. And they say, you know what, you were really good to me and I'm going to make you the ambassador of Fiji or something like that. You just got, you know, it's like a reward or an ambassador is almost like a payoff sometimes when people win a presidential race. You can check me out on that, but there's, I'm not going to cite any examples, but you do your homework, you'll figure that out. And an ambassador is a highly honored position many times, an educated person, a blue blood, if you will, and sometimes, as I said, even a payoff. But praise God, look at the ambassadors. Paul uses the word here, we. He said, now, we are ambassadors. So I have a question. Who are the we? I was sharing this very anointed song with Becky back before the service, and she had never heard it before. We're not going to sing it, I don't think. Some of you may vaguely remember it. Some of you have no clue. In the Assemblies of God, years ago, every youth group was called the same thing. Do you remember? They were called Christ Ambassadors, or for short, CAs. And they had their own theme song. Does anybody remember the theme song? Kirsten, come up and sing it for us. No, I'm just kidding. The theme song is, we are Christ's ambassadors. That's all I know, okay. And then you would raise your hand. Christ's ambassadors, Christ. And so the person that was the youth director of the district level of the Assemblies of God, like we're the Pendel district, they would actually be called the, listen, this is a strange term, they would be called the DCAP. I said, what in the world was that? Chris Capali said, I thought that meant because they were the district captain of something. No, DCAP stood for District Christ Ambassadors President. DCAP. And so Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. Now, who is he talking about? He's including himself, but he says we, so he's talking about more than one person. Does he mean just Paul himself and Barnabas or Silas, or who is he talking about? Does he mean, of course, all of the other apostles? Think of Christ's ambassadors. Think of who is an ambassador. Peter, James, and John were surely ambassadors of the kingdom. Unlearned and basically blue-collar, and some would say ignorant fishermen, that God said, you, I choose, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're going to be my ambassador. What a tremendous concept. Thomas, who had his issues of doubt, was considered an ambassador of the king. Praise God. Think about the characters of the 12 apostles that were ambassadors. Think about Matthew, who was a tax collector and despised by his Jewish brethren, that became an ambassador of the kingdom. Think about one of my favorite that we often overlook, Simon the Zealot. How many have ever heard of him? Simon the Zealot. Let me rephrase that. Simon the Terrorist. That's what a zealot was in Bible days. He was a Zionist terrorist that would try to overthrow the Roman Empire by all means necessary. And that included cloak and dagger and all of that. God said, I want you as one of my ambassadors. Jesus said, I choose you as one of my ambassadors. Now, one of the things that's just so detrimental and the things that's so discouraging is when you read some of the older commentaries, you find out that they restrict that concept. Some of them, I think it's a carryover from the post-Reformation hangover. They hadn't yet moved beyond the old Catholicism of medieval times. And they said, some of those commentators said something like this, this is only the apostles. Only the apostles are ambassadors. But that's not true, because the message of reconciliation reconciliation is the message of the gospel. And the last time I read my Bible, the Great Commission is for every one of us that know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Go therefore, I've received all power in heaven and earth is mine. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He said, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Who? The ambassadors, all of us that believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak in new tongues. It's right in there in Mark chapter 16. And it says, they shall cast out demons. And if they drink, not to go ahead and drink it, but if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. Praise God, we are Christ's ambassadors. So I think the Assemblies of God had it right when they said, you know what, all of you young people that know the Lord, I want you to sing. They wanted to drill that concept. We are Christ's ambassadors. Praise the name of the Lord. That's you today. Turn to the person next to you and say, hello, ambassador, and tell them their name. Say, hello, Ambassador Joe. Hello, ambassador. Praise God. Ambassador Ed, so nice to have you with us. Ambassador, good to have you with us. Praise God. We're ambassadors. Hallelujah. An ambassador. And so the local church is like the embassy. So number one, I'm going to move quickly. Number one, ambassador is appointed by the king. What an honor it is. So this is one of the new things. This is one of the new parts of the new life in Christ. It's astounding. It's astonishing. When I got saved, I thought, oh, praise God. I can lay my head on my pillow at night and go to sleep without having some drug-induced coma. Because I could never go to sleep as a teenager, 15, 16 years old, without some form of drug. And I had my list. And the top was this one. And if I couldn't get that one, it would be next one, next one, next one, next one. Because I just couldn't sleep. But you could check with my wife and my kid. I have no problems now, right? No problem sleeping. I just sleep like a baby, praise God. Upsets my wife. She can't sleep sometimes. I said, what's the problem? Just go to sleep, praise God. Don't blame me. God healed me. He saved me, praise God. But what I'm talking about is just the goodness of the Lord, amen? The goodness of God's grace. We are ambassadors of the kingdom, and he's changed everything about us. So number one is what an honor it is. And when I got saved, I thought that's all there is, just to be saved, just to be delivered. I was so excited about that, but I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it when people began to confirm it, and I understood there was something about the call of God. And I answered an altar call after I was saved. Maybe some of you have done this. And I said, God, whatever you want to do, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want to do in me and through me, God, I give my life to you. I had nothing before. I was saved. Lord, I give my life to you. And my mind was scrambled when I came to Jesus. But the Lord said, I think there's a blank slate I can work with. So he said, I just fill your mind, fill your heart with the word. Now do something because you're a new creation now. And to think that on top of being saved, we get to represent the Lord, not just me as a preacher behind a pulpit, but every one of us, we need to sing the song, maybe we are Christ's ambassadors. Hallelujah. An ambassador is appointed by the king. Number two, quickly, an ambassador, and I already alluded to this, has delegated, designated authority. The ambassador can sign stuff in the name, that's called power of attorney, in the name of the king. He represents the king's policies. Amen. But he has no authority, listen now carefully, he has no authority whatsoever to alter or change or to adjust the policies of the kingdom. He can only reflect them and he can only proclaim them. You cannot mess with the policies of the Word of God as an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have no right to change what is in this book, but we are called to proclaim only what he has as his policy for the kingdom. And I tell you what, I don't want to go down this road too much, but I'm going to tell you, there's some people going to have to give account for altering the message. There's some people that are going to have to answer to God for taking the message of the gospel and making it a get-rich-quick scheme. How many know what I'm talking about? You turn on the television at late at night, and sometimes if I get up early, 4 o'clock in the morning today, I said, let me see what's on that Christian, so-called Christian station. And invariably, almost every single time, it's the same thing about money, about money, about money. I know the Bible teaches about money, but how many of you know it breaks my heart, and I think it breaks the heart of God, because at that hour of the night, there are people that
that are hurting. There are people that just came in from drinking all night. People that are thinking about committing suicide. And they turn on the Christian television trying to find, in desperation, clicking through the channel, can I find some hope? And here's some guy telling them, send me money, send me money, send me money. Where's the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where's the message of reconciliation in all of that?
Feel a little emotional about it because it's sad. And I fear for those people that are doing that. Because Paul says we do not distort the word of God. We do not manipulate as ministers of the gospel. We speak only about Jesus. Read the rest of the first four chapters. We have delegated, designated authority to act in his name. Have you ever laid hands on somebody? Don't just bring them to church. That's a good thing to do. Don't misunderstand. But sometimes people won't come to church. They'll come into your house and have a cup of coffee and be bold. And somebody's there saying, you know what? I'm facing surgery or I'm really sick. I don't know what I'm going to do. Why don't you act as an ambassador at that moment? Your house can be a mini embassy. Praise God. When they come into your house, think of it as coming into a mini embassy. Maybe the local church is a larger reflection of an embassy. Is your house an embassy of the kingdom where the message is right there? Praise God. You have authority to lay hands on them. Say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to tell you about the message. Praise God. That's my third point. An ambassador has a message. An ambassador is privy to information that everybody else is not privy to. An ambassador has inside info. Hallelujah. Amen. He's come right from the White House in the case of the American presidency and all of our ambassadors. There's things that the ambassador reads and knows and sees. Here is something that I'm doing, and every embassy has to be aware of it. This is something that could affect the territory that you're in. So an ambassador has inside information. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 13. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. He said, blessed are your ears, for they hear. Get this. He said, many righteous men, many prophets and people have desired to see the things that you see and they have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and they have not heard them. But blessed are your eyes. We have blessed eyes and blessed ears. Know the stuff that you and I know. We're going to have to say, God's going to ask us, what did you do with the information I gave you? What did you do with the revelation that I gave you? Did you ever share it with anybody? I gave you the gospel. Praise God. One final point, number four. Here it is before we close. An ambassador, and I already alluded to, an ambassador lives in a foreign territory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This world is not my home. An old song says, I am just passing through. That's what the great hero of the faith, Abraham, said. Let me read it to you quickly. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place in which he would receive his inheritance. Listen to this. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, for he looked for and waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When I first got saved, when I was in Bible college, attend an old-time Pentecostal church. It was a couple thousand people in Fort Worth, Texas. Powerful church. Powerful church. And they were really singing a lot of the old songs we don't even know anymore. But they would sing this song, and I mean, they would get with the program. I mean, they would sing it, and they had a whole band blaring it out. And I mean, 2,000 people would sing, looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions, praise God, will live on high, looking for a city. And you know, we used to sing more songs about the other side. We used to sing more songs about heaven. But today's pop theology has become all but preoccupied with stuff in this life. I know God wants to make our life better and bless our life. But how many of you know, in spite of all that, this is not my home. I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. And you know, when you are stepping into an embassy, you ever see a movie somewhere? I forget, there was a movie somewhere where some lady went over to Iran, Not Without My Daughter, or something like that. I don't know, have you seen that movie? It's like a shocking movie, and her husband took the daughter over to Iran. This is years ago, and she went through all this scheme to get the daughter back and transported across the mountains into Turkey, and she saw the American flag, and she saw the embassy, and she said, if I could just get inside that embassy, I'll be safe. They cannot touch me, because an embassy is treated as if it were on the same soil as the country and the nation. In other words, if you get inside an embassy in Japan and you get in there, you're in the United States of America. They can't touch you, or they ought not to. And if they do, all of the power of our army and our navy and our air force, all of the power of our entire nation will back up that embassy, or should. Praise God. The church is like that. The church should be like that. That when people come into the midst of the praises of God and the presence of God, this is not a territory. I don't care how many forms they make us fill out talking about how much electricity we use and all this crazy stuff the city's trying to make us do. But this is kingdom territory here, where we're assembled in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are ambassadors. Your home should be a mini embassy in your neighborhood. That if people can just get inside your home, hallelujah, and you can get them in there by just giving them free food. If you know how to bake, God gave you that skill, bake some cookies and say, come on in. How many know what I'm talking about? And just say, come on in. Let me tell you about the policies of the King that I represent. Let me tell you about some good news. We have a message to be reconciled unto God. As Becky comes back, let me close with this. Hallelujah. Two concepts about reconciliation that I want to leave with you. One of them is, first of all, it's all about the grace of God. I said it's all about the grace of God. The fact that we're new creations should tell us that. I mean, how many know we didn't recreate ourselves? Couldn't do it if we tried, had the power to. We are a new creation. And the Bible says, I read it to you earlier, God, meaning God the Father, was in Christ. Listen to this now. All of you want to be Calvinists, listen now. God was in Christ reconciling the elect unto himself. No. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. Now, that doesn't teach universalism. Some would take it to mean that. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means this. God made him to be sin, or sin offering for us, that we might be the righteous of God. I'm here to tell you, I don't care what anybody teaches. I don't care about that misrepresentation of that. I'm telling you, Jesus shed his blood for everybody. I'm telling you, there's a doctrine that says Jesus didn't die for everybody. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus shed his blood for everybody. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That is the objective concept of reconciliation. There's a subjective side of the coin. We pray you. We implore you. Listen to this. This will blow your mind. As if God was speaking through us. Say what? As if God was speaking to us. There's a verse that says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. When you share the gospel with somebody in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, your mouth is moving, but God is speaking through you. Does God still speak today? I get that question a lot. Does God still speak today? They want to know about, you know, messages and all of that. I'm telling you, God still speaks today. Every time somebody shares the gospel, God speaks, and he does it through you. He has no lips but our lips. He has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. We are the body of Christ. Oh, what a privilege. What a responsibility. But wow, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? I said, that's pretty awesome. Did you ever think about this? What an ambassador. God Almighty. And here's the message. As if God was pleading, we implore you. God speaking through us, be reconciled to God. Now, that doesn't mean there's a quid pro quo. That doesn't mean that the reconciliation power is 50-50. No, it's all about him, right? So what does it mean, be reconciled? It means allow yourself to receive the reconciliation. Yield. You ever drive down the street and see a yield sign? Yield right of way. You know what? That's all we can do. Yes, that's why we lift up our hands. It's a symbolic of, I yield to you, God. Have your way. Praise the name of the Lord. One final thought. Now is the time. Today is the day. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Talk about that next week, but it means don't miss the opportunity when God's grace touches your life. Respond. He did it all, but we have to receive it. Bow your head with me, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel this so strong in my heart. Is there just one person here and you say, I'm not sure? I'm really not certain that I've been reconciled to God. Please don't leave with uncertainty in your heart, but make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt. You say, Pastor, would you include me in this prayer? I want to be sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm reconciled to God. Is there anybody? I cannot close this message with just assuming that everybody's cool with that. Is there anybody here who says, I'm not reconciled? I want to be reconciled. Amen. Yield your life to the Lord. Say, Lord, I receive what you did. He did it all. God was in Christ reconciling the world in himself. And then I want to ask one last question. That's this. Is there anybody here you say, I've been reconciled to God. I'm a Christian, but I need to be kind of re-reconciled because I haven't been in fellowship with the Lord like I need to be. So let me be reconciled fully, even though I'm already technically reconciled. Is there anybody say, pray for me. I need to get back into closer fellowship. The summer's taken its toll on me. I've been here, there, and everywhere. I need to be reconciled into closer fellowship. Father, you see every hand. You know every life. You know every situation. And I just pray for every person that raised their hand. I just thank you for the power of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that even though my vocal cords are what you're using right now, it is your word, it is your message, it is your good news, it is your gospel, the gospel of reconciliation and redemption. So we yield our lives to you, and we say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. We say, Lord, bring me closer, bring me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where we first received you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Can we stand together?